Orange County commissioners met last night for the first time since their summer break. A lighter agenda this week, including a discussion of legislative goals for the General Assembly next year. But there is a lot on the docket for county commissioners this fall, including a joint meeting with the school boards later this month to discuss long-term funding projects. County Commissioner Renee Price talked about the most critical projects last week on 97.9 The Hill.
How to fund capital projects. And by capital projects, I mean, you know, the buildings, fixing buildings or building new schools if necessary, whatever, you know, what the case may be. How do we determine when to build a new school? How do we schedule repairs and updates? And can we work together? Is there a way that we can pool our resources with the two school systems? And that'll be something that we're going to discuss. For several months now, we've had a capital needs improvement working group, and the report will be presenting it during a work session. And then we're looking forward to, even though we haven't set the agenda now, there will be a joint meeting with the school boards and the Board of County Commissioners on September 29th at 7 o'clock. And this may be one of the items on that agenda to talk about how we can fund our schools. Because, you know, we have school buildings that are over 60 years old, 70 years old. And, you know, we need to make sure that they are suitable for 21st century learning.
That's County Commissioner Renee Price there. Elected officials have a lot on their plate this fall, not just school funding, but also ongoing housing concerns. Last week at the Chamber's annual State of the Community report, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger said her town needs to add 450 housing units each year just to keep up with the needs of existing residents, let alone the rising demand. She discussed that issue in more detail on 97.9 The Hill last week as well.
It was interesting to see that Chapel Hill has grown the slowest that it's grown in the last two decades, with just around 1% growth a year, which isn't a lot. And so I know we feel like there's so much building and construction going on, but we really aren't increasing our population. And I know those apartments that are there are filled. People are moving in droves to this area. And you've got the other cities of Raleigh and Durham really exploding, and Chatham County too. But Chatham County is much smaller population to start with, so their percentages look bigger as more people come in. But it's interesting that this area is attracting so many people. And as a town, we're doing the Complete Communities Project. I really encourage people to come to the open houses on September 15th and 16th to give us input. We want to build better. You can't stop development, but you can decide what it looks like. And people want the connected communities we've been talking about. They want to be able to go places without their car, bike, walk, use greenways. They want places to be. We're looking towards all that and figuring out what makes a great community and how do we keep Chapel Hill still feeling like Chapel Hill.
That's Mayor Pam Heminger there. You can listen back to both of those conversations in full in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelborough.com. State-level news, multiple outlets reporting new details in the insider trading investigation of U.S. Senator Richard Burr for allegedly profiting off early information about COVID-19. Burr was not charged as a result of that investigation, but we now know he sold a significant amount of stock in the first 2 weeks of February 2020, right when elected officials were learning ahead of the public about the likely impact of the virus. Those stock sales came 1 week before the sudden market downturn. Burr made $164,000. And avoided $87,000 in losses. Back locally, new tourism numbers are in from across the state, and Orange and Chatham counties saw their numbers rebound last year back near 2019 levels after the pandemic caused a big hit. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more on that.
After experiencing a record high in 2019, Orange County had a steep drop in tourism revenue during the early stage of the COVID-19 pandemic. Laurie Policelli, who is the executive director of the Chapel Hill Orange County Visitors Bureau, recently spoke with 97.9 The Hill and recalled the struggles for the local hospitality industry during that time.
You know, there was just really a national cease on travel, and people heeded that, and our lives were at stake. Nobody knew what we didn't know. And so we saw a huge decline. Every hotel, every business furloughed staff. And so when we saw these numbers come in, it was a sigh. It was an exhale that people are traveling to Orange County again.
According to Visit North Carolina, Orange County experienced a 51% increase in spending from domestic and international visitors in 2021. The total was more than $194 million within county lines. That outpaces the percent increase in spending across all North Carolina, which was nearly 45% this last year compared to 2020. Palicelli said many elements contribute to this local boost, including the returns of fans to UNC Athletics games, improved capacity indoors, and new businesses opening their doors. But she also gave credit to those who are in the restaurant and hospitality industries for their cooperation and perseverance during the challenging stretches.
What I really loved about this community during COVID is how well everyone worked together to support each other. Suddenly, competitors were all working together to try to lift that tide.
Another aspect of the rebound, according to Palicelli, the return of Orange County hosting conferences, reunions, and other annual gatherings. While the rise of remote communication has led to changes in the workplace and how people interact, the Visitors Bureau executive director said such events are swinging back to largely being held in person.
What they're finding is that the hybrid isn't working, you know, that the people in the room ignore the people on the calls. People are really craving the full interaction. And what you hear a lot is that a lot of the business takes place in the hallway.
Yeah.
You know, you see someone in the hallway and you're like, hey, by the way, you know, what's going on with that? And so you just can't do that on Zoom, right?
The tourism totals for Chatham County improved as well, with Visit North Carolina reporting a 41% increase to more than $68 million in revenue. One trend noted by county officials is the spending tied to outdoor events or facilities, as well as residents staying and spending money in Chatham. Chair of the County Commissioners Karen Howard told 97.9 The Hill she believes the local governments should continue to capitalize on that interest.
The need for us to continue to invest in outdoor recreation and opportunities for people to come and visit and spend their dollars here and make a difference in the lives of Chatham County residences and businesses. Those numbers really are staggering considering the economic position that the world was in. And I hope we can look at those and take some lessons and continue to do well for visitors and tourism in the county.
Howard said she encourages residents to read the full report, not only to get the broad picture of Chatham County's growth in tourism, but also to come to their own conclusions.
I would love for people to have a look at it and think about what that really says. That at a time when money was not necessarily easy to come by and people were looking for things to do, for ways to get out and enjoy themselves during the pandemic, they chose places like Chatham County.
For a full report by Visit North Carolina, head to chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Time is 6:15 here on 97.9 The Hill. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. Awards are rolling in for Tar Heel quarterback Drake May after his incredible performance in Saturday's win over Appalachian State. Topping the list, May was named Maxwell Award National Player of the Week. He's also been named a Manning Award Star of the Week, ACC Quarterback of the Week, and ACC Rookie of the Week. And he earned a spot on the Davey O'Brien Great Eight list as one of the top performing quarterbacks in the nation. All well deserved, May was 24 of 36 for 352 yards and four TDs on Saturday. He also ran for 76 yards and one score. In his first two starts, he has nine TD passes and zero interceptions. Only three other quarterbacks in the nation have done that in the last 15 years. Only one game in action yesterday. UNC volleyball beat Charlotte in four sets, capping off a successful weekend that also included wins over South Carolina and Arizona. Tar Heels back home Friday, hosting Michigan State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Elsewhere in sports, UNC women's soccer dropped one spot to number two in this week's coaches poll after losing to UCLA on Sunday 2-1. The Bruins took over as the new number one. Tar Heels have another big match tomorrow at third-ranked Duke at 8. UNC men's soccer also fell in the rankings. They're out of the top 25 altogether after a 2-1 loss of their own to Florida International. And UNC field hockey held steady at number two after beating Princeton and Penn over the weekend in the ACC Ivy Challenge. And looking ahead, mark your calendars for Friday, September 30th. That's the date for this year's preseason Carolina basketball event. You knew it as Late Night with Roy during the Roy Williams era. This year, it's being called Live Action with Carolina Basketball, hosted again by BDOT starting at 7:30 that evening with an early look at Carolina men's and women's basketball. As always, free for everyone. And the Durham Bulls are back in action tonight, hosting Scranton Wilkes-Barre at 6:35. Bulls got a win over Scranton Wilkes-Barre on Monday in a special Labor Day game. They're riding a 5-game winning streak into tonight. Continuing our local news coverage, we head now to Carrboro, where one of the town's most revered citizens was recently given the state's highest honor. Francis Shetley is 95 years old, a former Carrboro alderman and a longtime local activist whose work has helped shape the town to this day. And last month, she received the Order of the Longleaf Pine. With more on Francis Shetley and her story, here's 97.9 The Hill's Andrew Stuckey.
I am sitting in a large yard on Hillsborough Street in Carrboro on a sunny late summer morning.
This is a tassel fern here.
I'm visiting with Francis Lloyd Shetley.
I have one, a great big one over here that I look at almost every day that I enjoy, and all these ferns.
There may be nobody with deeper roots in Carrboro than Shetley.
And I moved to Carrboro when I was about 28 years old, so I'm 95 now. I've seen a lot of changes.
It should be noted that when she moved to Carrboro, she moved from Calvander, just about 2 miles north of her yard with all the ferns. She's also a ninth-generation descendant of Thomas Lloyd, one of the original settlers of South Orange County and a distinguished colonial official of the 1700s. But it's on her own laurels as a community activist and former alderwoman that Shetley is most well-known.
Well, I have a lot of things to be proud of, so many things.
Her numerous accomplishments for Carrboro include founding the Garden Club.
About 35 years ago, I got together with several friends. That has been a real asset to all of us because we've just enjoyed talking about flowers and trading plants and having such a good time.
Helping save the Carmel Mall building.
Long time ago, 1973, maybe 75, had a fella with the Southern Historic Society called me and said, "Do you know they're going to tear it down?" And I said, "No." And I called several people and said, "Did you know that they're going to tear down the mill?" And somebody said, "Well, why don't we get up a petition to prevent that?" And I said, "Well, great idea. You do it." And he did. So many people around Tarbert signed it. I heard that Mrs. Friday, Ida Friday, signed it. And he carried it to Mr. Yeagie, who was the owner. And Mr. Yeagie looked at it and said, "Carver people don't want this torn down." And said, "Okay, I'll just sell it." And it became Carmel.
And she was such an active champion of bike and bus transportation that they named a bike path after her when she retired.
Well, that was not my doing. I was on the Carver Board and Transportation Advisory Committee. I had no idea that they were going to do that.
This all culminated on August 20th when Shetley was awarded with the Order of the Longleaf Pine in a special ceremony held at the Francis Shetley Bikeway.
And it was a complete surprise to me.
The Order of the Longleaf Pine is the highest honor the governor of North Carolina can bestow on a citizen. It is reserved for those who have a proven record of extraordinary service to the state and contributions to their communities.
And I'll have to thank Greg Meyer for doing all this work. And I had a lot of letters from friends who wrote in nice things about me, and it's just so nice to get all that recognition.
When I asked Shetley what she was proud of and her influence on the Carrboro community, she thought for a moment and then said,
"Would you like to hear a story?"
I would like to hear a story.
Okay, I'm going to tell the story. And it goes back to about 1980. One morning, I had a call from somebody. And she said, "Did you know they're going to build a big development in Carver that's going to just be a disaster for our watershed?" And so I said, "Well, now, I know somebody who can tell me about this." So I called Alan Spall. He was a person who was all up to date on conservation, preservation, and so on. And I said, "Alan, did you know about this big development coming on our watershed?" And I told him what little I knew about it. And he said, "Oh, that's going to be a disaster for our water supply."
We're talking about the University Lake watershed. It encompasses Anderson Park.
Alan Spalt is a longtime Carrboro resident and a former alderman. He's also my father-in-law.
And he took up the cause and got together people, friends who knew about water runoff and so on. And they went to all the board meetings, the public hearings, and fought.
Francis is very generous in giving me a lot of credit. And I was, in fact, instrumental in defeating the development in the watershed in the 80s to protect our water. But I worked with a lot of other volunteers and an attorney to sue the town.
And it just came to me a real wonderful thing for Carborough.
The story exemplifies what makes Shutley such an effective leader.
She could influence people, and they didn't even know they were being influenced part of the time. And she didn't care whether she got any credit at all.
And that subtle leadership style helped shape Carborough into the town it is today.
Well, I appreciate all the things that people have done for Carborough. I've been here such a long time and have seen so many changes. People come to Carborough now and enjoy it, don't they?
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Andrew Stuckey.
And you can head to our website, chapelborough.com, for even more local news 24/7.